Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to worship on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. As you can see, the Lord's table is prepared before us. Later on in the service, after the word is preached, we will come together to the Lord's table in fellowship and in peace with our Heavenly Father. Hopefully, each one of you has a worship bulletin to follow along in our liturgy this morning. I did want to call your attention to the tan slip you can find in there. I'd ask if you would pull it out and fill it out. You can drop that in the offering plate when that comes by later on in the service. And there's a place on the back of the slip for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have. A couple announcements as we get started this morning. First of all, I don't know if you ever really pay attention to our bulletin. We have a lot of announcements in there, and it seems like we just kind of, even I'm guilty of this too, where eyes just kind of glance at it. Is this relevant to me? No, skip. But anyway, the back of our bulletin actually has a list of our church staff, our elders, and our deacons. And for some time, we've neglected to put staff members on the back of that, not by any intention. But as you may know, Lisa Johnson has been serving as our administrative assistant in our office, doing many, many different tasks, primarily putting together our weekly bulletin. Maybe that's why her name's not on the back of the bulletin. She's putting the bulletin together. But she has served our office in great ways, and also Sarah Royer has been serving as our financial manager and treasurer. And we're pleased to announce that we are increasing Sarah Royer's roles, especially as we transition over to the new campus. And so she's going to, you can read about that in the bulletin. She's going to be overseeing the entire facilities, the use rooms, assignments, and all that stuff. Children's ministry coordinator and outreach coordinator. And so we're just so thankful as a pastoral staff for both of these ladies and how much they serve our church. And so I do encourage them as you see them. And then also, I wanted to make sure that you're aware that this afternoon at 12 noon in Luther Tower, we're having an information meeting for our high school mission experience that's going to be in Costa Rica this next summer, 2017. And so if you are a high school student or a parent of a high school student wanting to learn more about this trip and what the purpose is and what's all involved, this is a very important meeting for you to come to. It should last no more than 30 minutes, if even that. So do make plans for that immediately after Sunday school today. And then also, we have our Tuesday morning women's Bible study. It's going to be resuming this Tuesday, October 4th. Please make note, ladies, of the new time and location. It'll be at 10 a.m. at the home of Alice Teachin. And then finally, every once in a while, we'll offer a communicants class, typically for middle school age kids or those who have not yet made a public profession of faith. We're going to be offering one in October. It'll be actually October 14th through the 16th. And so if your child is ready to make a profession of faith and has not yet attended this class, do let me know, and we'll move forward from there. But other than that, if you have any electronic devices, I'd ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode, and let's prepare our hearts to worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Well, please join me as we read together our call to worship this morning. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. Well, I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing hymn number 710, God of Our Fathers. Would you pray with me? Glorious God, you are King over all the earth, and yet you are our King who loves us, who is near to us, and who watches over us. And therefore, we give you our praise. As we worship and prepare to come to your table, we ask that you would find our worship pleasing in your sight. For we approach you through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. You are one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, following along in your bulletin, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In light of hearing God's law, we come now to a time of confession. If you're able, we invite you to kneel before the Lord. O Lord, our God, who brought your people out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, and by Christ has delivered us from sin. Now you have been faithful to keep all the promises of your covenant. We, on the other hand, have not been faithful to you. We have not kept your law. In your mercy, we ask that you would help us to see our sin. Would you give us broken and contrite hearts to confess and repent of our sins? In this brief time of silence, would you receive our silent prayers of confession? And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. We humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Our assurance of pardon comes this morning from Isaiah chapter 53, prophesying ultimately about Jesus Christ, stating, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Amen. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28, as we finish the book. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The word of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the privilege to worship you once again as sinners cleansed by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we would pray today for our world and for our nation. We pray for peace. We pray for the expansion of Christ's church and the gospel message. We ask, Lord, that you would bless our church as we look forward to a transition to a new physical plant. We ask that you would bless and anoint our ministries for the years to come. We pray that you'd bring forth fruit. And we'll give you praise and glory for these things, Lord. Father, we pray for your Spirit to be over all nations. We ask, Lord, that you would make those who lead in high office aware of the fact that you're summing up all things in Christ, and that your sovereign hand rules ultimately over all things. Father, remind us of these truths. Give us peace as we seek to be good citizens and live out our lives for the sake of the gospel. Father, we pray this morning for those with needs. We continue to pray for Dave Barden, healing from his cancer. We pray for Ken Jackson, healing from his eye illness, and also the completion of the sale of their home. Father, we pray for Judy Dolstall and Debbie Vincent in the care of their husbands. We pray for Denny Michael Bedoronsky, for Larry Dickey and Marcia Craig. We ask, Lord, that you would be over all of these lives and families, that, Lord, you'd pour out your kindness upon them. Father, we also remember others. We think of Ron Quick Jr. and Augustina Livesay, Lee Zambon and Lois Callen, Mike Cawley, Lana Schwartz, and Bruno Gravanti. Father, be with all of these. I pray that you would minister to every need as you define it, that you would bring healing where there's illness, that you would bring comfort where there is any other difficulty. Father, minister to these lives this day. And Lord, we pray for those who are missionaries supported by our church. We pray for Rodney and Jana Davila. We pray for Donna Judy Vanderplug. We pray for Dave and Paige Hawes, for Andrew Newman and Joel D. Victoria and Steve Light. Father, bless all these individuals and families and marriages. We pray for your kindness to be upon them. We pray that you would provide all of their needs emotionally and spiritually and financially according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And Father, we also remember SIEATN and Maureen Thompson in their labors. Father, bless them with all that they need. Lord, be with us now as we continue in this worship experience. We pray, Lord, having confessed our sins and confessed our faith, that, Father, you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, that you would move in every one of our hearts so that when we leave this place today, we could say, truly, we've been in the presence of a great and awesome God who's made himself known in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray so many years ago, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, the first 12 verses. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God. Once again, I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing hymn number 1, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Our offertory statement this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you with grateful hearts, bringing our tithe, a tenth of all that you have given us. We do this out of a desire to be imitators of you, to be generous, loving, and sacrificial. We ask that you would use these gifts to your glory. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. You have your copy of the Word of God. You can open with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. This is our second scripture reading for this morning, so you can certainly follow along inside of your bulletin if you like. We are in a series of messages through the book of 1 Thessalonians, and as Danny mentioned, we find ourselves at the end of the book today, chapter 5, verses 12 through 28. We read the Ten Commandments this morning as our first scripture lesson out of Exodus chapter 20. And part of the balance and the symmetry of sacred scripture is that the first four commandments, you know, outline our duty to God, while the remaining six commandments outline our duty to each other as God's children. In a similar way, I believe the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Christ spends the first six verses of our gospel reading today teaching us how we should relate to one another. That is, stop judging one another. Be gracious to one another. Don't cast your pearls before swine. And then he spends the final six verses in that passage in Matthew 7 talking about our relationship to God. Ask, seek, find. As we come to this passage, I think the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 through 28, we find numerous and general exhortations. It's almost as if Paul is gasping for air to say the last things he wants to say to this church. And just like the Ten Commandments and the words of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, I believe Paul's final exhortations fall into two categories. Number one, our relationship to one another, how we are to respond and treat and interact with each other. And then number two, our relationship to God. Our relationship to God. So we'll look at those two points this morning before we enjoy the Lord's Supper together. Let's ask for God's grace and blessing as we study this morning. Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we wish to see Jesus and Him only. We pray that our faith would rest not on the wisdom of man, but on the power of God as you speak to us through your ancient, infallible word. Lord, do all of your holy will in these moments now. We'll give you the praise and glory for all that you will do, and we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want you to notice our relationship to one another. And I'm going to jump around a bit because Paul, in this last portion, says some things in one place and then several verses later returns to the same theme. And so if you follow along with me, I think you'll see what he is doing. First of all, our relationship to one another, and there are really two aspects of this. Number one, our respect for spiritual authorities. And number two, our simple interaction with fellow believers. Notice our respect for spiritual authorities in verses 12 and 13 and also in verse 25. He says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." And then skip down to verse 25. He says, "Brothers, pray for us." Pray for us. I think Paul is outlining our interaction with spiritual authority. I want you to note that Paul does not say to hold spiritual leaders in high regard because of their personality, or because of their gifts, or because of their looks. He says, hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. That is to say, those who occupy office in Christ's church are worthy of respect simply because of the office. It's very much the same in our society. In Romans 13, the Bible makes it clear that we as Christians are to respect the civil authority. We're supposed to cooperate. We're supposed to submit. We're not supposed to resist unless those civil authorities are commanding us to do something that Christ forbids or forbidding us to do something that Christ commands. Simply put, 99% of the time, we're to submit. I'm really distressed by what I see in this country these days, that police officers seem to be public enemy number one. There's no doubt there's some rogue police officers out there, but most of the time when I look on television, what I see is somebody resisting arrest. What I see is somebody not cooperating. Now, again, that's not all the time. We need to pray. The corrupt civil authorities, including police officers, would be dealt with. But we also need to support law enforcement officers. They have a very, very difficult job in trying to enforce the law and restrain sin in society. Romans 13 has an awful lot to say about that. Because the enforcement officer, the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. If you don't want any trouble with the law, do what is right. Don't resist authority. Show respect. Well, enough about that. Back to spiritual authority. I think it's very important that we have a proper perspective of those who minister amongst us. Too often we have the habit of practicing or putting or pitting one minister against another, or one officer against another. And I think that's sad. You know, when Danny comes to visit, it's as if I came to visit, and vice versa. When Danny preaches a sermon, it's as if I preached a sermon. So we need to treat each other with respect at that point and recognize that once we start and begin to go down that pathway of holding one over the other, we generate division. That's exactly what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 3, where he had that party spirit. I am of Paulus. I am of Peter. I am of Paul. And the very spiritual ones, I am of Christ. Paul made it clear there is no party spirit like that in Christ's church. That we're to respect spiritual authority not because of the individual, not because of gifts and abilities and that sort of thing, but because of the office. You see, if we don't do that, then we fall into the kind of indolence that leads to division in Christ's church as well as cultish following. How many times in 25 years of ministry have I talked to somebody and, boy, they remember Brother Wonderful. You know, somebody way back 25 years ago. Brother Wonderful, nobody else will ever fill his shoes. And unfortunately, since Brother Wonderful either left or died, they have shut their ears. They don't listen to anybody else. I've met others who hear the teaching or the preaching of somebody, perhaps a pastor in a church or a pastor on the airwaves or a man or a woman teaching a Bible study. Before you know it, they get hook, line, and sinker into that person, and they won't listen to anybody else. They stop being like Bereans and listening carefully, listening intelligently. It's very important that we don't get caught up in man, but that we respect the office. And when the man in the office goes astray, that we deal with the situation. That's maintaining a proper balance. And Paul says, pray for us. Pray for us. Let me challenge you with that. Ministry is hard work. Pray for us. Pray for Danny and myself. Pray for our church officers, especially as we make this move. It's very, very difficult at times to lead in ministry. And so we appreciate your respect because, tragically, ministers have a calling that is going to incur a stricter judgment. If a pastor gets a stricter judgment, he doesn't need the judgment of church members. I thank God for our church. I don't know that I've ever met a congregation more supportive of their ministers than our church body. So it's hard to say anything here. Just keep up the good work, as Paul told the Thessalonians over and over again. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, "We are innocent of the blood of all men, for we did not shrink to declare to you everything that was profitable." And in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul made it clear that those who teach and preach the word will stand before God in a stricter judgment. And it will be revealed whether they were building with gold, hay, and stubble. Yeah. Ooh, boy, I got that messed up. Wood, hay, and gold. All right, you know what I'm talking about. Wood, hay, and stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones. One is cheap, the other is costly. One is temporary, one is eternal. Hebrews 13:17, submit to those who are over in the Lord as those who must give an account to God. That's a scary, awesome thing. So let me challenge you at that point. Respect spiritual authorities. Keep up the good work as you have done so wonderfully for many years. Well, notice secondly, our interaction with fellow believers. Look at 13b and following, or excuse me, verse 14. We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and everyone else. And then skip to verses 26 and 27. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. I want you to notice the variety of persons in the body of Christ. He speaks of those who are idle, those who are timid, those who are weak. It's very important that we acknowledge that we're not all the same. We are unified in Christ, but that does not mean uniformity. We're all not like each other, and we need to learn to respect the strengths and weaknesses. Just like the Lord Jesus said, that we're not quick to judge one another so harshly. Because one struggle that one has may not be the same struggle that another has. Not only the variety of persons in the body of Christ, but notice the variety of verbs and actions outlining our behavior toward one another. Warn the idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Don't pay back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other. We have a variety of persons. We have a variety of behaviors and attitudes. There's a time to encourage each other. There's a time to warn one another. There's a time to help. And there's a time to be patient. And the wise person, the wise Christian man or woman will know when to practice each one of these. Don't pay back evil for evil. It's hard to turn the cheek, but we're called to do that. We're called to be long-suffering and patient with each other. And we're striving to be kind to each other. He goes on to say, greet each other with a holy kiss. Many people make jokes about that. Are we supposed to walk up and be kissing on each other all the time? And I don't know about what happened in the ancient world, but I believe we focus too much on the action and not enough on the thoughts and the feelings behind the action. You know, a kiss in the ancient world communicates so much. It's a longing and a desire for intimacy that we should be sharing with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So don't get hung up on whether I ought to shake a hand or kiss on the cheek. Look a little deeper. The significance of it is that we ought to long to be with each other. We ought to long to enjoy the relationships that we share. And we ought to take time to spend with each other. He says, give attention to the ministry of the word too. Look at verse 26 and 27. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. One of the hallmarks of the early church was the reading and the teaching and the preaching of God's word. It happened all the time. And I want to challenge you with that, that we not just read the Word of God, but that every one of us take advantage, not just simply of public worship, but of Bible study afterwards, that we'd study the Word of God together, that we would interact together. You know, the Sunday school hour provides a different venue. It's a different dynamic when you can ask questions and make comments instead of a sermon, which is a monologue, as you know. So we ought to engage in heavy duty study and reading and understanding of God's Word. Well, that is the relationship that Paul outlines of believers to one another. Now, I want you to notice he concludes in verses 16 and 24, or through 24, and verse 28 about our relationship to God. Look at verse 16 through 22. First of all, our response to God. He says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. I started to say circumcision. Boy, you tell I did not sleep well last night. No one would give thanks during circumcision, I don't think. Let's try this again. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." You'll notice he says, always be joyful. He doesn't say always be happy. It's very important. Happiness is contingent upon circumstances. There are whole movements and Bible studies, quote, so-called, that are focused on personal happiness. But happiness is not joy, ladies and gentlemen. Happiness is based on your circumstances. It's always conditioned by your circumstance. Joy is more organic. It is a deep down sense of satisfaction that I belong to God by faith in Christ Jesus, and my circumstances cannot hinder or condition that sense of joy. And so what Paul is saying is, be joyful and remain prayerful. Give thanks in all circumstances. You don't know what's going on. Often not till we look later, after something has happened, do we actually see the reality of what God was doing. I know in my own life, I have complained and bellyache in the midst of tough circumstances, only to discover later on that God had a reason for those things. This is precisely why Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances. Maintain that sense that God is at work, that he's working out what is pleasing to him. As Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation, for God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. I work out what God works in. As God is working in my heart, I need to understand why is he doing what he's doing, and often I won't have an answer for that. But as I work it out, I rejoice and say, Lord, continue to work in me. He goes on in verses 19 and 20, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Well, this is similar to what Paul said in another place, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And what he's talking about there is personal sin in word or deed or our attitude. You know, when we're walking with God, we confess our sins, we are fresh and current with him, and there is a sense, a feeling of freshness and closeness and intimacy. We grieve the Spirit of God. We quench the Spirit of God whenever we allow sin to enter in, whenever we begin to entertain the fleshly desires that Peter tells us to avoid. He goes on to say, don't treat prophecies with contempt. This is an interesting thing. You know, in the New Testament, in the early part of the writing of the New Testament, before Scripture was complete, there was prophecy in the sense of foretelling, just like in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they would say something and foretell what took place in the future. What you have when you approach the New Testament and the New Covenant is a theological momentum that is moving towards God's Word being inscripturated. And so prophecy has a dual meaning. It could mean foretelling what's going to happen in the future, or it could mean forthtelling the Word of God in preaching and teaching. We see a marvelous example of this in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. And everybody's speaking in tongues, and all of a sudden there are those who hold it contempt. What's wrong with these men? They're full of sweet wine. They must be drunk. You know, and they hold in contempt what is taking place there. And Peter takes his stand and says, no. And he foretells the word of God. He goes back and says, what's happening here is what the prophet Joel wrote about. And then he goes on to explain and expound that word of God, that these are the last days when Christ would appear, live, die, be raised from the grave, and salvation would be preached to everyone. Be careful. Be careful. Don't hold in contempt the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We go right back to that sense of reading the Word and teaching the Word. The Word is important. And if you really believe that, you'll take time to study it. Not only in your home, but during the Sunday school hour. You'll take time to pray and not stay out too late on Saturday night and say, Lord, what are you going to say to me through the preached word tomorrow? How will you touch my heart? How will you investigate my soul? Bottom line for us, approach and teaching and preaching of God's word with respect, seeking for the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Too often we Christians can have our minds someplace else and we're not listening for God to speak to our hearts in the message or in a Sunday school lesson. He goes on to say in verse 21 and 22, test everything, hold on to the good. In other words, listen not with a critical spirit, but critique what you listen to. If you have questions, ask. If there's need for clarification, get it. Nobody is above making a mistake. There are many, many sermons I've preached and things I've said that I'd like many people to forget, frankly. So it's never a problem if you say, hold up, one second, you said this or that. Give that opportunity to explain or even apologize. Say, I wish it was done better. Don't be critical, but critique what you hear. And notice our reliance upon God, finally, in verses 23 and 24. God will faithfully sanctify His children. May God Himself, He says in verse 23, the God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Very important that we rely upon God. Not simply when we come to faith, when we recognize our sin and we profess faith in Christ and we trust Him as our Lord and Savior, but every day after that. I'm more and more inclined as I read the book of Acts and I see the apostles saying, we will not neglect the word of God to wait tables. We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. I think in our society in the 21st century, one of the banes of Christianity these days is we have such a low view of the preaching and teaching of God's word. And many ministers, including myself, don't spend enough time devoting ourselves to prayer and the ministry of that word. We get hung up in doing so many other things. May God give us grace to do that. May God give us grace for all of us to rely exclusively on the Lord Jesus. He's not only a friend of sinners when we come to Him in faith, but He strives with us for the rest of our lives. Faithful is He who calls you, and He will do it. Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior? If you have, are you relying upon Him or the arm of flesh to get you through this life? I invite you, if you don't know the Lord, to invite Him into your heart today. Call upon Him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know Him and you're out of fellowship with Him, submit to Him. Commit yourself to die to yourself and live unto Him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now lead in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Those words are easy to quote, much harder to live out. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this word and this book. I thank You for Paul's love for the Thessalonians and their love for him. And I pray that we would imitate their faith and that, Lord, we would walk with You and know You, that You would work inside of us and clean us up every day as we keep following as Christians. Lord, if there's one or two here that have never known you, I pray that you'd open their hearts, open their eyes, invade their soul, and save them for Jesus' sake. We make our prayer in his name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to an appropriate closing hymn, Jesus, What a Friend for Sinners, number 498. We'll sing verses 1 through 3 only of number 498. Let's stand together. Be seated. Let me read the words of institution to you this morning from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, beginning with verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Our Lord Jesus set aside a common, ordinary supper for us to do two things. One, to remember his sacrifice on Calvary. And two, for all the ages, to have fellowship and intimacy with him, spiritually, by faith, every time we take these elements. They don't mysteriously turn into the body and blood of Jesus, but every time a believer, by faith, eats in a context like this, where the word has been preached, our Lord gives grace and strength through the sacrament. And so I invite you to come to the table today and partake. If you're a member in good standing of an evangelical church, you profess faith in Christ alone for your salvation, you're welcome. But if you haven't done that, you don't know that you're a believer, no one else has confirmed that, then this table is not for you. We invite you to sit quietly and just watch as Christ's church communes with her Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we pray now that you would take these common, ordinary elements and set them aside to extraordinary usage. Bless us as we commune with you by faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, as I am ministering in his name, give this bread to you. And he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Our elders will come forward and distribute the bread, and then we'll all partake together. The body of Christ, take and eat. Well, in the same manner, after the supper, our Savior took the cup, and as has been done in his name, he gave thanks. And he gave this cup to his disciples, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Our elders will come forward and distribute the cup, and we'll all partake together. And as a reminder, we do serve wine in the outermost ring of the trays, and grape juice in all the inner rings. On the cross, the Lord Jesus shed his blood so that by faith in him we might have the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink. Now, Father, we do thank you for your gifts of grace. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, and for these tangible signs and seals of your promise. Father, thank you for making a way that we could be forgiven and reconciled to you. And I pray that you would increase our faith and send us forth out of this place to love and to serve you with all of our heart. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, this time I invite you to stand as we sing the final two verses of hymn number 498. And as we sing, our elders will come forward and pick up the empty cups. We do want to invite you to stay among us for a time of coffee and snacks in the Snatter Building, which is directly behind the sanctuary, as well as for Bible study for all ages, beginning at 10:45. And for now, receive the benediction of our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And in light of that truth, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.